Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 2, where I read for you again these words of our Lord to Mary. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, to say that Mary and Joseph have a problem is an understatement. They've lost Jesus. Returning from Jerusalem, where they had come to the temple for the Passover, they assume that Jesus is with them, perhaps walking along with other boys his age. But when they stop for the night, they discover that he is not with them. It's almost impossible to imagine the horror that Mary and Joseph felt. Jesus is lost, or so they think. For it is not really Jesus who gets lost. Rather, it's Mary and Joseph who lose him. And sadly, people are still losing Jesus. How? When man's word is substituted for God's word. When we stop caring about purity of doctrine. When we are mute before the insistence that all faiths are equal. When pleasing the self replaces being content with what God has given us. When we make time for entertainment, the internet, or bodily nourishment, but have no time for prayer and scriptural meditation. When we say we love God, but we are not loving toward our neighbor. And we do not care about the multitudes who are unbaptized or those who have forgotten or strayed away from their baptismal gift. We lose Jesus when we lose our temper and when we gossip about our neighbor instead of putting the best construction on everything. When the despairs of this life overshadow the joy of our salvation. Or, when we look for peace in the cockles of the heart rather than in the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is often lost, even among us. But the truth really is that Jesus is not lost. We are. And today's gospel shows us where he is to be found. And then also the joy in finding him, or more precisely, his finding us. Now, as said before, the Holy Family had gone up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. One of the three annual feasts at which every male was to appear before the Lord. So every male was to go to Jerusalem, though women and young children would often accompany them. And they were not to come to the temple without an offering. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, we're told, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. So having fulfilled that requirement, they are on their way home, and Mary and Joseph are filled with distress. You see, they seem to have forgotten who Jesus is. They seem to have forgotten the appearances of the angels. Gabriel, who told Mary that she would conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. And the angel that had appeared to Joseph, giving the child the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. They seem to have forgotten the strange news that the shepherds brought, that the heavenly host had appeared singing, "Glory to God on high and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They seem to have forgotten what Simeon had said about him when he was presented in the temple when he was 40 days old. They seem to have forgotten the Magi who came to worship the Christ child and brought him gifts. They seem to have forgotten their flight to Egypt and then their return back to Nazareth. Yes, it seems they have forgotten. Because when they find Jesus, Mary says to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." "Your father and I," she says. But Jesus replies, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Or did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, Joseph is not Jesus' father. God is, though Joseph is Jesus' guardian. That's why Jesus was subject to them, perfectly obedient to them, following the fourth commandment. And he did this willingly. Now, Jesus' answer to Mary are the first words of his recorded in the gospel. And they tell us right away who he is. Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Son of God. Here, just as the glory of the Lord filled the temple in Solomon's day, so now Jesus, the glory of the Lord, the Word made flesh, has come to his temple. He has come to Jerusalem, and he knows that this is where his real work shall be. "I must be about my Father's business," he says. And what is his Father's business? He has come for the Passover, a festival at which the lambs were slaughtered in remembrance of the first Passover, when the blood of the lambs marked the doorposts of the faithful. And the Lord passed over their houses, sparing them from the plague of death of the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt. Jesus has come to this festival knowing that he is the true Passover lamb, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Later, when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, St. Luke will describe that day as the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So even at the age of 12, Jesus is already about his Father's business. And as he already begins to bear the cross, so does Mary. For she was in anguish, fear, and dread, wondering what might have become of her son, the son that had come in such a strange and marvelous manner, the son entrusted to her by God, the son conceived by the Holy Spirit. She says that they sought him in great distress or suffering mightily. After all, Jesus was lost. And in the Bible, lost is a metaphor for death. In Luke 15, when the prodigal son returns home, the father says that his son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Jesus was lost to Mary and Joseph, and Jesus is lost to us by our sin. Shackled to our mortality and slaves to sinful desires, we are separated from God. Yet, this gospel shows us where he is to be found. This gospel shows us where the healing of our griefs and the removal of our sins is to be obtained. For Mary and Joseph finds Jesus in the temple, the house of God, the place of the proclamation of God's word. That's why we too look to God's word for healing, forgiveness, life, and joy. That's also why we gather here in God's house, for this is where Jesus is to be found. So in the gospel, when is Jesus found? The gospel says after 3 days, they found him in the temple. When he is slain as the true Passover lamb, again, it is after 3 days that he is found. On the third day, the day of Easter, the day of resurrection. There is our hope. There is our life. There is forgiveness to be found. There is joy and gladness. And that's why we do come to the divine service, is it not? To find Jesus. For this is where he is found. He is here in his Father's house, being about his Father's business. He is here, giving out life and salvation in word and sacrament, in baptism, in absolution, in the supper. And so, having found Jesus, what will we do now? Now that we found Jesus in his Father's house, let us imitate Mary and follow her example as she treasured up all these things in her heart. Let us keep the word also in our hearts, embedding it in our minds, without ceasing to put prayers on our lips. It's so easy to be anxious, to lose heart, to lose Jesus. But fear not. As our Lord came to the temple, so now he comes to the temple of your body, filling it with himself as he fills you with his word. And you are a member of his body, the church. What an unspeakable privilege that is. By our own reason and strength, we could never find Jesus, for he was lost to us, but he has found us, And we who were lost have been found. And we who were dead, he makes alive. To him be all the glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.